Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast today is easy, November 7th.
Yep.
Day after Election Day, which we'll get into later. We'll just get into that later. I am open up that can right now. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good, good.
2 weeks?
Yo, Thanksgiving is 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So have you locked that? I still don't know what I'm doing.
I'm out here. I don't either.
I might have been this nigga couch. Hey, bro.
Yeah, man.
You got any more? Give me one of them hard turkey legs. You fried the turkey that leg behind. Yeah, the hard. Fry my hard. I like, you know, the gnaw on it for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Take about 20 minutes to eat a leg. But yeah, I still ain't got a lockdown. But I mean, I haven't really been reaching
it's
out.
Still
either.
Pretty, it's still pretty.
Yeah, you know, it's still you got black some people like, time.
Yeah. Oh, nah. Black people, we definitely. We you get your first round of guests, they'll start telling you what they're going to do around about that 15th, 16th area.
Yeah.
Then you really narrow it down because now you might be shopping, but then by like the 20th, you really mapping out cooking.
Yeah. So who's now. Bringing what?
Yeah.
Who's coming? Well, first of all.
Who all coming?
Like, y'all got to bring too much when y'all come to my house.
Yeah, right. Your should be.
Because we like. Our shit the way we like our we can't be playing around
greens.
Definitely we can't be playing around with your potato salad
and the greens.
We cannot be gambling with your greens, my nigga, like at all.
Yeah.
So then, by that Saturday, Sunday,
you gotta have it locked.
You locking in.
So you know what you're doing on Thursday.
Yeah.
I have to say. And nah, I'm sure you'll appreciate it. I mean, we all appreciate it. But I have to say, Thanksgiving is definitely my favorite black Twitter time.
It's the best social media.
Because it's all joyous.
Yeah.
It ain't no hating going on.
There's a lot of clowning going
it's
on.
It's clowning. It's the, yeah. There's jokes. It's flying.
Yeah.
But there's no hate.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to get clowned if you put up a nasty plate now. But. Yeah. The, you know, people showing their spreads, they showing their food, everybody comparing notes, my mama did this,
yep.
Your cousins do that, my mom, you know, it's that whole community of black culture coming together, comparing notes about how we all are different, but in so many ways we're all the same. And you can definitely feel a lot of times the other cultures looking at black Twitter that day like what?
They learned so much from us.
And then it turns into like the spades game and the kids do that dance for your grandmother. That's what you do. And all that shit and the backgammon and you know all that shit. So I always look forward to Twitter on Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is actually my favorite holiday because it's not about gifts.
Right.
It's just about being with family and friends, you know, and then that spills into the Friday, sometimes even into the Saturday, you know, with the leftovers, because you got leftovers Twitter, because you're talking about that shit, and, you know, so I enjoy it immensely, so, you know, we're going to say it, I'm sure, closer to the day, but, you know, happy holidays, everybody.
Says the season and shit.
I wanted to give a RIP to Roy Hargrove, who's a jazz trumpeter. 49 years old, died of, was it a heart attack, you say?
I think so.
Yeah. Heart complications. I know there was, you know, he had some, you know, some substance issues in his past. Yeah. I don't know if that's what caused this. They're not really
saying. Apparently he had been on, I think his substance issues had taken a toll on his liver, because apparently he'd been on dialysis.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Off and on.
Oh, wow.
Which may have also weakened, you know, his entire pulmonary system.
Yeah. And he had just played the Blue Note, like a week or so ago,
while,
right? Wasn't it recently?
Was he at the Blue Note while Robert Glasper was doing his residency?
Yes. Okay. I think he came to one and he played one of those shows. Yeah, okay. Like fairly recent. Like don't quote me, but it might have been like a day or two before he passed. Like, it was like really right there. So, you know, a big loss to the music community, and I just wanted to, you know, give a...
And just like 49.
Yeah. Bro.
49 is so young.
You still got a lot to do.
Like, wow.
You got a lot to do. You got a lot of vitality left. He was, you know, a physically in shape guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So nobody saw this coming.
Yeah,
49 is, I mean, it's funny, like they always say, like, when you're young, you're like, that nigga fit 49, that old ass.
Yeah.
And then you get, you're like, hey, really not, I don't, mm-hmm. I still had a, he still had a, you know, what I hope, maybe had a good 35 to 40 years left. So,
yeah.
Just wanted to say that. Y'all got any shout outs?
Want to shout out my uncle who was in the hospital this last weekend.
Okay.
With, technically they consider it a heart attack. I'm going to call it a cardiac episode. But I'm going to use this opportunity to preach at y'all niggas, because in typical old black man fashion, this motherfucker been walking around with chest pains for 3 days.
I'll be all right.
Talking about, well, I burped and I felt better. You know,
give me some ginger ale.
Like, come on, like, thought it was gas, thought it was this, mm-hmm. thought it was that, thought it, you know, thought it could. And he admitted that. He admitted that he definitely thought it was something that he could just walk
that
off.
Would go away.
Yeah. And it's like, you ended up, they ended up, like, he had... One artery was partially blocked. The other one was completely blocked. Like,
shit.
Yeah. So, y'all start thinking y'all can walk everything off, please.
Yeah. No, because you
or definitely
can't.
Let me just take some Tussin.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know, let me
take
rub
a nap.
Let me rub some Tiger Balm on it. You know what I mean? Like,
I took a bath and I took a little nap.
He was like, well, I got up and I walked up the block and then I burped and I was like, okay, well, it was just gas. And so my mother came to town because she wanted to. Well, she was coming to town anyway because she was coming to town for a funeral.
Is she still here?
She left this yesterday.
Okay.
And she wanted to strangle him. So,
take care of yourselves because it's real out here.
Well, and also I think part of it, I mean, we know that there is obviously the historical reason for black people not to trust medicine. And
but,
even
the, you know, but the women definitely go to the doctor.
We do. Regularly. And they fuck us over too because medical professionals don't believe black people when they talk about their pain and discomfort. They think that we're exaggerating because apparently we're superhuman. However, I think part of what's happening now with what I'm seeing with my generation and my mom's generation is more of motherfuckers not actually wanting to accept how old we are and how our bodies are changing. Right? Mm. And it's just, it's causing us, I'm guilty of this too, it's causing us to minimize things that we should be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, just remember, you know, you might still feel like a spry young chicken.
But you ain't.
In your prom, but you ain't.
Yeah, but you ain't. You got to stay on it. You got any shout-outs, bro?
Nah, I ain't got no shout-outs. I'm good.
So, let's jump on in. Had the premiere of Real Housewives of Atlanta this weekend on Sunday. Yeah. Did y'all watch?
Yeah,
I did.
You watched? Okay. So, Kenya's not on.
Kenya had her baby.
Exactly. Had her baby coincidentally. Was it Sunday? It on the day?
I think it was Sunday.
Yeah, it was on the actual day. A month early. But, you know, prayers to her out for the babies, you know, well, because, you know, it's a bit complicated because Kenya's, you know, a little bit older than... most women who have children at this stage.
Yeah,
that means
you have preeclampsia.
Yeah, she's 47, they said. So I'm hoping everything's good. But everybody else is back. One of the first jarring things that they showed was Greg and Nene. And Greg's been battling some real serious health issues. We know he had heart issues previously.
Yes.
And has been in the hospital for that. And now it's revealed on the show that he's also been battling his colon cancer, I believe. Because he said they took his colon out.
Yeah.
And you can see it. Like, he's weak.
Yeah.
He's very gaunt and drawn. He can't barely stand up. Like, he's like exhausted. Just, he's like sitting on the couch and he's like leaning on the pillow. He's like, he's wiped, you know? Yeah. And then he's, you know, being a dutiful wife and, they have a little, gathering with some of his friends. Yes, I don't think those were his children too, were they?
I mean,
the youngest boy, Brett, was there, but
Brett,
I don't know about the older kids. I'm not sure.
I don't know
sure.
that I know them when I see them.
Exactly.
They've only been on, what, like one show?
Yeah, one or two. Years. Yeah, there's been like several seasons ago.
You never hear them mention.
Yeah, but he talks about how he was obviously like fearful for his life. He didn't think he was going to make it. When he had surgery, he had written a note, kind of telling everybody things. He breaks down crying. And they do like a prayer circle around him. And I actually was surprised that NeNe was able to kind of stand so strong in those scenes. Like, she didn't really cry or anything. She talked about how she would cry in the car, or something. So she wouldn't be, look in her mind, I guess, weak around him.
We haven't seen NeNe cry a lot, period.
No, her reaction to everything is anger.
Yes.
And it's, I think it's anger.
That I have seen her cry, I felt like it was manipulative. Like, there was one reunion episode where they were kind of giving her ass. And I remember all of a sudden, she started crying.
And everybody was like,
and like I said,
Cynthia was running after her. I remember that one.
She does turn them on. I feel like it's manipulative. And to your point, I think that there are some people, and I used to wish I could be one of these people, because I'm the type of person who I cry at anger. And I cry when I'm like, I do the candy thing a little bit. But there are some people who literally, like, they can will themselves.
They can turn it on.
They can turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to see me cry. I'm not going to let you see me cry. Like, there's no way it's coming out right now. And I think NeNe is that person. Like, I think she really has to be in a complete space of safety.
And then she lets go.
And then she can let it go.
Yeah. It was very interesting. Like I said, I mean, not that, and I'm not saying that to be, I'm not trying to be negative or rag on her. I was just like, wow, like, because Greg was, like, in this scene, he was really going through it, man.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know,
I would also imagine that, you know, she's doing a lot of reflection and crying alone.
That's what she said.
And she cries in the car. And a big part of that is, like, when you've cried for 3 hours in the car.
Yeah.
You know,
you wiped out. Really,
there's no more tears
at
this point. You know, now you're just, you know, functioning to just sort of make everyone else at ease.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, peace to Greg and NeNe, and we wish him well and, you know, want to see him. Because I think he's still going through the cancer.
Yeah, he is. He's still fighting it. Well, at least, I'm not sure in real time, but on the show.
Yes.
He's fighting it. If I'm not mistaken, I think he beats this.
I hope so. I'm not sure. Excuse
me, at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, this is also, we should also take sort of this opportunity to, you know, look, I'm not using Greg as sort of the talking point here as much as overall health for us as we get older, right?
Right.
And one of the things that we tend to do is we also tend to think, I went to the doctor, right, this one time a year.
Right.
And
I'm good.
They ain't fine enough.
Yes, I'm straight.
So I'm good. So I can continue the behavior.
Yeah, the fuck shit.
Right. And so what happens is as we start to get older, and this isn't just about Greg or Hargrove.
Mm-hmm.
This is about, like, we can count on our hand guys in hip hop that have died from preventable diseases within the last 5 years. Right? Like, the sedentary lifestyles, the poor eating habits, the poor life choices, the quality of life,
all of those things
matter, man. That whole, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I hear you, my nigga. I'm taking a nap.
Real man, like, it is just, it's just not cool.
It's not even, I mean, yes, all of us have been in the entertainment industry for a long time, so we've all seen it. It's just like, yo, my, like, what are you doing, fam?
Yeah.
Like you'll be in, you know, in a recording studio, for example, it'll be like 1 a.m, niggas ordering wings.
Yeah,
you know, like, they smoking blunts, like, back to back to back to back to back to back to back, drinking, you know,
everything but water. Everything
just,
for days and days.
Yeah,
and days.
Only water they're drinking is the ice in the liquor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just.
No sleep. And
if a nigga does sleep, it's more like he passes out.
Yeah.
And then get clowned.
Yeah.
You get clowned because you're tired. It's like, you know, like, come on, B.
It's crazy. And even on that same regard, you know, and we're responsible. Our generation is responsible for this whole no sleep, we grind bullshit. But all of us, I think, hit a certain age where we were like, yeah, that's trash.
Trash.
It's complete trash. And part of it is just a part of the hip hop generation growing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was cool when we were building companies at 20.
Yeah, yeah.
But once niggas had some kids, you know, had some
joints,
and they be like, yo.
And you know what, man? All of that shit is done from peer pressure and aspiration.
Totally.
Yeah.
All of that shit.
Totally.
Like, you niggas keep running, like, you 53-year-old niggas keep running behind Puff, okay? Because right. his quality of life is not your yours. Quality exactly. of life, my nigga. Like, exactly. I assure you, yeah. okay? There is a chef preparing meals to identify with a fucking blood type or some shit like that.
I'm sure there's a masseuse on deck. There's
a masseuse on deck and probably a fucking room with a hyperbaric chamber. All of the fixins, my nigga.
Nigga, you used to drink all the best waters, all the breast milks.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So,
you know what I'm saying?
I say all that to say I think we have to start to take a little bit more stock in the preventative nature of our health and our longevity. Because, again, this isn't just about living long, right? This is about your quality of life. Can you function at 60?
Yeah.
Like, or are you, you know, I see so many guys 60 years old, hips bad, back is bad.
Got the walker,
the cane. Mm. It's like, bro, like 60 is not an old.
Yeah, you should not be moving like you're 85. Yeah,
not like that, bro.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, so you know, God bless, man. Everybody try to stay healthy, man. Also on the show was a little bit of Candy and Todd and mm-hmm. Riley. Riley trying to kind of like flex up a little bit on Candy about being too busy and show Candy on the road with Escape. I guess they're still doing shows the summer past. And what else did we see? We saw Cynthia has a new boyfriend. That's got Mike Hill, who's a, what's it called? A broadcaster on. He used to be on ESPN. Now he's on Fox Sports.
That's who I thought that was.
Yeah, yes,
sir. I couldn't really see it.
Yeah,
face,
yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
She seems very happy with that. And I feel like I'm forgetting a major one. Who else am I forgetting?
Eva.
Oh, and Portia.
And Portia.
So Portia got a new boo. I don't remember old boy's name now.
Dennis?
Is it something like that? Yeah, he on the club.
Hot Dog King.
Is he on the club or is he on Hot Dogs? I think
he owns both. He owns a couple of restaurants and he owns a...
Like a food truck?
Food truck, yeah.
That park up in front of
or
the club.
Or he has ownership in a couple of different restaurants and clubs and he owns a food truck.
Okay.
But the food truck is apparently...
Popping.
Well, he's popping off.
That's what
he owns a few of them. Like, there's a few of them.
Okay, I know. In Atlanta, the food. I mean, like a lot of cities in Atlanta, the food truck thing is really a big deal now.
Yeah.
They have all kind of food trucks. They have like little gathering areas where they'll do. Where they'll kind of put you sign up on an app or something, and they'll let you know the food trucks will be here. You know, Wednesday at 3 or whatever. It's like a pretty big deal. So, you know, he probably is legitimately making. A good chunk of money. But they won't even be together on the show for 3 months. And Porch is like pressing this dude to get engaged. And I was like,
I don't want to shit,
but go ahead, bro.
They said, I love you on the first date to each other. I mean,
I didn't understand that.
No, I understand it. They're 17. They're both acting like they're 17.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I even know.
Like, I don't even fucking like. I literally
don't know you. Yeah.
So this is a perfect marriage, in my opinion. Of it, you know, pun intended. This is a perfect marriage of a person who is eagerly looking to be married.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And start a family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And a person who seems to be eagerly looking for a spouse that can be beneficial
to his business
exactly. and image and sort of overarching
absolutely.
Access.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it gives you a level of access.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you guys quite understand. I mean, listen, I know we joke around about them going to do their walkthroughs and their parties and shit like that. But a lot of these folks are... favorite of people that are well healed.
Yeah.
And so it is not uncommon for them to be at events, private
right.
events, and you might be in there with a couple of guys that might be worth $4 or $5 million.
Yeah.
And might be looking to invest
yeah.
and do some other things, or maybe they have businesses and you can, there might be some symbiotic relationships
yeah.
that are able to foster this.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. So, I mean, so, you know, God bless. I mean, she's, you know, in lifetime, she's pregnant.
I mean, there was a lot of, you know, look, I don't really fuck with the blog shit, but there was a lot of blogs, you know, talking about dude and, you know, sort of uncovering.
Disparaging.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't, look, again, I don't fucking know that dude, so, you know, who are me?
God bless. Who are me to judge? I don't know what his situation was, but
for a grown up, like a grown man,
yeah,
to be like, I love you on the first day.
Well, yeah. He loves the idea of her.
I'm about to say, I think, yeah. I think there was an agenda there.
Yeah. Listen.
Not to say he don't love her.
Think you love her. There are a couple things. Portia is absolutely easy on the eyes.
Yes.
No question. Okay?
She's a good looking girl.
She has some work done because she got even thicker.
And she's, and I mean this in the nicest way, she's a little dense.
Yeah.
And
easy to move around.
Yes, she's easy to manipulate for a dude that moves in a circle of nightlife.
Yes.
Very easy.
Yeah.
You throw her up in the house, you put her 45, 50 minutes away, an hour away, make sure she get all the shit she need, okay? And she ain't worried about when you come in or the fact that you staying at the downtown space.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm stay over here tonight because I got to be up in the morning.
Because the food truck.
Because the food.
But again, I guess we're giving up game or whatever. You can do that.
As long as
every now and again, you got to let her come to the club.
Oh, yeah.
Now and again, yeah. And set her and her friend on Tuesday, her and her friends set up in
the nice VIP. She'll be hosting.
Yeah. Exactly. She's the personality. So let her and her friends get a nice booth, all the drinks they want. She popping.
Well, also, he ain't that fly. I mean, he's an Atlanta nigga with some money, so I'm sure there's some stuff
sticking
around.
He is the prototype Atlanta nigga.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to meet an Atlanta nigga, that nigga, and with the show, we about to talk about the nigga on Ready to Love, the nigga with the beard.
Yeah.
Them niggas is the prototype Atlanta nigga.
So they probably
know each other.
Well, I was going to say, my thing with Portia is, listen, she's happy for her. I'm happy for her. She got her ring. She got her baby. She's happy. But it's really weird when you want to do that at a point where you're going to pick rings, but you're still calling him your friend. First of all, I hate grown people who call people they're dating my friend. I hate that shit so much.
Oh my God,
I hate that. They'd be like, oh, that's my friend. That's it. Nigga, we fucking. I'm not your friend. The fuck? You know what I mean? Like,
Miss Darlene been my friend for a little while.
My friend I was telling you about.
if we're at a point where we don't go on to pick out some rings.
Yeah, we're way past some friendship.
Yeah, I need, like, you could call, that's your beau. That's your man.
Yeah.
That's your, boom, if you don't want to say bae. Boyfriend, that ain't your friend.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my friend down to Miami. Yeah. No, bitch, that's your man. And you're saying it feeling like he might propose to you that weekend?
Yeah.
I also really, I understand going to pick out rings together.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that as a woman.
It's
how
weird,
did you feel
right?
about that?
So I understand why people go out to pick rings together because you want to make sure you get the right kind of ring or go look at rings together. But to do it and then immediately propose. To me,
it feels
like it defeats the purpose. Like, you're not going to be surprised. Like, she's sitting at a whole Miami trip waiting for the box to come out.
She was egging him on. And first, like, nigga, they was looking at $500,000 ring.
Yeah, like, what is like, going on?
Like, look, I ain't in your pockets. But that is long coin for an engagement ring. But like, there is no
standard.
There's no standard in which a 500. Oh, I mean, unless you're fucking with the shorty money.
Yeah.
There's no standard in which that's like a little bit
that's
of.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's
serious cash.
So, but then I just gotta say, man, like, I don't know that I'm renting a car. If I took a private jet to Miami.
Why am I renting a car?
Why would I rent a car?
Like, why would I have a driver?
Like, first of all, we going to Miami to get drunk. And fuck all weekend. Like, let's not, like,
we're driving nowhere.
What are we doing?
Where are we going?
But to y'all's point, he's an Atlanta nigga. I mean, he's an Atlanta nigga, which means you get to Miami and you rent an exotic car just because you think you're in a video.
Okay. I do Miami regularly.
Yeah.
Right?
But you a nigga with some sense,
my nigga, that G-Wagon is very regular.
True.
Like, I'm just throwing it out.
It's nice, but you ain't turning no heads.
My nigga, like, you're not fucking with the big boys.
Yeah.
With the G-Wagon. Now, the G-Wagon is a very nice vehicle.
Yeah. But it ain't turn no heads. When you pull up to the hotel, the valet ain't going to be like, wow, nice car.
Nigga, like, at all.
You're going to be like, that's name.
They might not even ask you, do you want your shit in the front? They might put your shit in the back.
Mm-hmm. We got the Bugatti and shit in the front. So that was pretty much the first episode. One other thing that kind of irked me. It really irked me that Candy took that little boy to the awards. Like, why are you bringing? And he's like 2 years old, and you taking him to the awards, and then you're burdening Don Juan with him.
Yeah,
and you can't even handle them because you have to take pictures and do all the press and move around.
Well, she thought that.
So
was like Todd was supposed to be on Daddy Duty.
But even that, it's Todd at the bar because he didn't want to fuck with it.
Right.
Because he's two. It's nighttime. It's all this activity going on, all this sensory perception shit going on, lights, people. It's it's not the place for a child. No,
he's not Assad.
Yeah, even that, I'd be like, yo, leave him alone. Like, put the boy down. Yeah, this is not places for children. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just kind of irked me. I just had to get that off my chest.
No, I understand. It looks like one of the plot lines this year is going to be whether or not Candy can really manage everything. The balance of work. Mom, which has always kind of been a storyline, but now we're starting here with Riley being like,
"What's up?" Because I don't
do too much. Both of them, Riley and Ty's daughter, was like, "Yeah, y'all be doing a lot."
Because they opened up a second Old Lady Gang restaurant.
Old Lady Gang, yeah.
So they have two restaurants. Obviously, Candy's still
and they're very heads on
touring. What'd you say?
They're very hands on.
They're very hands on. You're very hands on the restaurants. Candy's still touring. There's a lot going on. You know what I'm saying? And Riley's in 11th grade.
Yeah. So like now she's looking at them like, y'all clown.
Yeah. She's I still got to go to prom and all that.
Well,
like,
and the reason it's coming up is because they have more eggs left. That was the thing. That was the conversation that they were having.
So like, they have another kid?
Well, that was the conversation at the table was like, I feel like we shouldn't leave anybody behind. There are more eggs left. I feel like we can't just leave them sitting there.
I missed that.
And Riley was like, whatever. And, that's when Candy was like, well, you used to say you wanted a little sister. Riley was like, well, that's before I saw how y'all are with children. That's how that came up.
So what do you think Riley meant by that? Like, very,
she
like,
said what she meant by that. She was like, y'all ain't here.
So who's taking care of the little boy?
I think it's grandma, the aunts. I think there's a nanny. I think it's Don. I think it's assistants. I think it's, and that's what Riley was saying. She was like, you traveling, you over here, you over there. And then Todd was like, but daddy daycare being a fact. And Riley was like, yeah, okay.
Whatever, nanny.
Riley was like, you'll do one thing and then be like, okay, here's the
I'm out. I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what she was talking about at the table.
Mm.
And then Ty's daughter was like, yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I agree.
Right.
Okay, so that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just jump into Married to the Medicines real quick. This episode was bonkers. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. For some reason, I couldn't find it on my fucking
Wasn't it like
DVR.
The finale or something?
No, it wasn't the finale. Oh. It was a season. They did a season kind of in two parts. It was the beginning of the second half of the season. Okay. But, oh shit, but then you ain't see it, man. Dude, this episode was crazy. Yo, I'll put it like this. I'll just tell you a part. They went on a vacation. They went to Anguilla, Montego, Anguilla, one of the two. They was all sitting at the table talking. It got so heated between Heavenly and
Mariah
that Mariah literally grabbed a champagne flute, cracked the shit, and to crack the top part off and held it in her hand. Like, what's up?
Oh, wow.
Oh, it got, and Heavenly threw a chair at it. Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. Like, it was like, I don't know how they recovered from all the shit that they were saying. Like, the shit was bonkers, but I'm going to leave it be and let you watch it. We'll double up next week.
No, I mean, we can, it's the same shit. Like, dude, Heavenly been talking about that lady's mama.
And Heavenly definitely hit her with your mama shit. She definitely hit her with your mama shit on Sunday.
Like, come on, like
your mama a hoe.
That's the shit that I be talking about with Heavenly, right? All that me walking with Jesus,
trying to get right.
Like all that shit is for show. All that shit is to make yourself feel better about the fuck shit that you do. And you know what, man? Your fucking husband sits idly by.
No, that nigga was about to try to fight Aiden.
Yeah, well, that's my problem is that nigga never checks his wife.
Never.
Never checks his wife, because he's scared of her, okay? And this show appears to be, like, he's a fucking lap dog, okay, with no fucking backbone. And when she say jump, he asks how high.
He's like, all right.
You know what I'm saying? And that shit, to me, is so disheartening to just watch a relationship unfold like that. You know what I'm saying? But, and look, not because I'm trying to... I'm not trying to paint some sort of patriarchal Iron Man, she woman shit, you know, club over the head. But like, there was a certain position that that you as a man in a marriage is supposed to take, okay? And watching your wife behave this way.
And never say no word. Regularity. And the thing about it, not only is he never, I mean, look, I understand if he might not want to, I mean, check her in front of everybody else. But he never even pulls it to the side. Like when they do their scenes later.
Yeah,
he and never. Then 101, he never says, yo, like, even Eugene will say sometimes, yo, Toy, you was wildin'.
Yes.
He don't say nothing. He'd be like, well,
he don't even bring it
up. Well, buddy, no.
He don't even bring it up, dude. Yeah. He don't even bring it up, which is like wild. Dude, like, it's so egregious and so wild to me, man, that you would just sit there and just watch that shit happen.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching, like, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Like, them two, like, if I never see them on television again, I'm perfect.
Okay. Like, yeah, so we'll like I said, we'll double them next week. And then on OWN, on Saturday night, we had the premiere of the Michelle Williams show. Did you watch that tonight?
I did.
Okay. You didn't watch it though, bro, right?
Nah.
Okay. it was actually, they crammed a lot into that first hour.
Yeah, I was like,
is this a one episode series?
Like, what are we going to get into over the course of the series?
Yeah, because they crammed the whole lot into the one. Damn. So, it starts off with, obviously, Michelle and her fiance, Chris, right? His name?
I don't remember that boy's name.
I believe his name's Chris. White Cat, he's an evangelist preacher.
He's a sports kind of, preacher.
What do you call it?
He's off, often the sports chaplain.
Oh, yeah, because he's in shape. I think he played ball like a little bit.
I don't remember, maybe in college.
You say, yeah, maybe in college, something like that.
But he's a sports chaplain for different
proposals. Yeah. They showed him with one of the teams. I'm blanking on who it was. Yeah, right. But he does that. He's kind of in that same ilk as Israel Horton.
Right.
And there's a couple of other kind of like these young, you know, quote unquote, more hip preachers in wear suits. They wear like, you know, jeans like, and, you know, they wear the dad jeans. But their jeans, nonetheless, basically they're wearing True Religions. But whatever, you know what I'm saying, with their little the shirts like with the cross on them, you know, that type of shit.
Yeah.
He's engaged to Michelle obviously from Destiny's Child, and you know, they're living in LA and
well, he moved out to LA because of to kind of help her through her recovery.
Yes.
And keep an eye on
her health. And they show him at the beginning, because they said they crammed a lot in this hour.
Yeah.
They showed him in the beginning, he went to Illinois, mm-hmm. where she's from, and spent time with, she didn't know, mm-hmm. spent time with her family, like basically asking her family for her hand in marriage,
right.
And filmed it, and he comes back to L.A., and they're having dinner somewhere outside, and then he shows her the film on the iPad, and you know, proposes. Then he proposes, and she, of course, says yes, and it was actually really nice.
Yeah.
But then it was kind of like, then it was interesting, because then it started to unfold. And there's a lot of, like, little bumps in their shit, you know? The fact that he's white.
Yeah. Well, he was saying she was catching heat.
Yes.
About the fact he's white. Because, true enough, I will say when they started posting each other on the gram, which was not too long before they got engaged,
mm-hmm.
I was like, is he, like, I was
me too.
Like, is he, and is I think he real it's the beard that makes him seem like he might be light-skinned.
And he keeps his hair real low. So you don't see his hair gray.
Yeah, it took me a minute to realize that he was a white boy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But, I mean, they're bonded by their faith, and he seems very cool.
Yeah, he's like a nice guy.
Very cool hair. We ain't seen his family yet. But
we'll see them next episode.
But he seems like a cool hair white boy. But, yeah, Michelle has struggled with depression.
Yes.
And it's something that I think part of the thing with the show is that she wants to be more open about her struggle with depression.
Yes,
And with her mental health and the engagement actually pushed her back into a place where she felt like she needed to check herself into a hospital.
Because apparently she would she has a thing where she always she'll get mad and break up with him.
Yeah.
Or get mad and just take the ring off. Like, leave me alone. Like that's her go-to move is to break up with him.
Like, she's scared. Yeah,
it's based on fear.
And it's like, all right, just.
Yeah, whatever. Let's
and he's like, woman.
Yeah, chill. I'm here.
Stop. I'm here. So they're going through. So I guess the show, because I was surprised too, because I thought we were going to see, I knew they were going to show the proposal in the first episode, but I expected us to follow them as they were building up to her going
into the hospital.
Clinic, doing this and that. Yeah. My guess is that they might have had, they might have been filming.
Like, this might have been a pilot.
It was initially going to be about them leading up to their marriage. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably initially going to be about them planning their wedding.
And then it went
And
left.
After she went to the hospital, they were like, oh, no, this is the story.
Yeah.
Because they've actually called the wedding. They don't have a date anymore. They had a date set. When she came out of the hospital, they canceled the date.
Wow.
And they were saying in this first episode, I don't know if you caught it, she was saying towards the end of the episode that she's ready to set another date. He was like, actually, I think we still got some stuff
yes,
to work
yes,
through
therapy. Yes, someone said that.
Before we set another date. I don't think we're ready. So I think that's what this is going to be about, is their journey.
Getting to kind of know each other.
And getting it to, yeah, and like her, you know, working through her fears.
Yeah.
Them getting to know their families.
Yeah. And him working through the fact that he's dealt with these, like I said, these depressive episodes, and it takes a toll on him because it's a lot.
Yeah.
But he'll wake up in the morning, and she's like going ham, and he's like, what's going on? You know, and she looked, you know, she kept, it was interesting because she kept talking about, everybody's going to talk about how I lost so much weight.
But you're already so skinny.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you've been frail from the gate.
Some of this is projection, I think.
That was my point. Yeah. Like, she's dealing with a lot of, I think a lot of, what's it called? Self-image. Image issues as well. We got a Kelly Rowland appearance on the show.
Yep.
Kelly just kind of, you know, trying to talk to her about her. It's girl time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, you know, very interesting. It was packed into an hour, but definitely going to, you know, kind of keep watching. So that was cool. By the way, I wanted to ask you, I don't know what you can say, but like when you were working with them back in the day, how was she?
I never worked with all three.
Okay.
I only worked with B.
Just me solo stuff.
But I always heard that Michelle was the most real and genuine and accessible.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, people really look. I've not ever heard anybody speak ill of her.
Okay. Okay.
Whereas I have.
We'll leave that alone.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody speak ill.
Okay, let's move on. Ready to Love. Did y'all watch that?
I watched parts of it.
Did you watch it, bro? You ain't watch it either.
I didn't.
Okay.
Well, I'm mad at that one. Because, and I hate this shit, it wasn't on demand.
Oh, it is. If you go to own site.
On DirecTV.
Oh, see, I don't have DirecTV.
That's what I was going to say. On DirecTV. I don't know if there's some sort of waiting period.
It might
be a
week.
How normally it would just come, like, after whatever the West Coast showing would be. Usually your on demand comes right up.
Right up, yeah.
It doesn't do that.
That's weird.
Love.
Yeah, well, I mean, for future, try to.
That's probably what it is. They probably have it for it to repeat during the week. Other plays, you know, they sell ad time. Yeah. So
you could try to, if for future, try to watch it directly on the laptop, just go on the own site on the laptop. It'll be there. So what'd you think about it, Nye?
I think it's interesting. I think because, you know, I hadn't watched it when you guys talked about it last.
So you've caught up.
I didn't see all of the most recent episodes,
but you saw the first two.
Yeah.
So you got the gist of the show.
I get the gist of it. The women are really attractive.
Yeah.
Like they got a good crop of.
That's what I'm saying. They got some
good
people.
Crop of women.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the gist of it. I'm trying to get a sense of what this time frame is though, because it seems very condensed.
What do you mean time frame?
Because they were already. How many episodes is this season? Because they were already down to like the last three.
Yeah, but if I don't know if you saw the first episode. You might have missed this. At the end of the first episode, they kind of showed like, you know, season attractions.
Okay.
And some of the guys some of the people, I think it was women too, who left, they end up, somehow they bring them back.
Oh,
okay. So they're not going to, it's not just going to be like, 3-on-3
okay,
from here on
yeah,
out.
They were at the restaurant. They had wrinkles to it. There was the day that they were all at a restaurant, and Nephew Tommy was like, yeah, so tomorrow we cutting down to the final three. And I was like, this is episode 2. like, how many?
Yeah.
Y'all supposed to do? But yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm not bought all the way in yet. And it might be because I was watching it while I was doing something else.
Okay.
But I'm going to keep watching because I'm interested to see how it plays out. But you know, you definitely see the same kind of character arcs play out that you see in these dating shows. I see what y'all were saying about the pastor. I remember he was on a date with a chick, and he was telling her that in his last long-term relationship, the woman was
going
separated.
Through a divorce.
Yeah, so I guess she was separated.
But then she went back to her husband.
But the chick was like, he was dating a married woman. And I mean, I think it depends on, somebody need to ask, like, were they for real separated? They was black people separated, or they were legally separated?
I don't know. It probably was.
But black she was Trump. Automatically like
Charlene.
What her name? Melinda.
Yeah, Melinda. Whoever that.
She could have been a Charlene.
Yeah, yeah.
She needed them that insurance.
Yeah. Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
You're probably right. You know,
shit happens. You know?
Yeah. All kinds of shit might have been tied up. Money could have been tied up. It ain't so easy to just ignore. And then maybe there was kids.
Eventually it was just like,
for the kids, I'm going home, you know?
You never know why a person might make that decision. Right. And, you know.
But I felt like the woman judged him for the fact that he listened. She did. You get over a certain age. I've dated somebody who was separated. Like, you get over a certain age, that shit.
Well, she's probably,
and that's why I like the show. Is like, we said last week, like, yeah. These are like grown-ups with real grown-up things.
Like, right. She probably is judging him again. Well, not again, but she's probably judging him based on you're a pastor. Like, if he worked 4 to 12 at UPS, she's not going to bat an eye.
Right.
The theory is that, like, you can't be this upstanding man if you were willing to go into a relationship
with a woman who
with was. And listen, I think that lacks nuance. I think that lacks. Absolutely. I think that, you know, really sort of strips a little bit of, you know, his humanity away from being a pastor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I can understand why a person
would say that.
Would take that stance, yeah, right? Yeah. Because it's almost like, where else is the line blurry for you?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that woman is the woman who, on this episode, if you know, saw it, was the one who supposedly cooked for old boy.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, she cooked for old boy, but she was, like, being super aggressive, like ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like even he was kind of like, yo, chill. Like,
right.
She's, like, just overly aggressive to the point of being uncomfortable. And then they let the woman go, the woman who wears all the stuff.
The doctor?
Yes, the doctor. Your man asked her about it, and she said, I'm a PhD, I have a PhD in business. That's what she said. She said something about the whole five links or whatever.
Can you get a PhD in business?
I was telling you what she said. Because your boy, the boy, the guy.
I don't think you can get.
I was telling you what.
A PhD in.
I've heard of MBAs.
I don't really think.
Well, last week I said that boy didn't go into the army for eczema was bullshit. And then I found out it can't happen.
I ain't never heard of a doctorate in business.
Yeah, I don't know. She said she had a doctorate in business because, boy, the one who's more of the blue collary guy.
Yeah.
Because you didn't see it, but the gist of it was so.
Did she get it from the University of Phoenix?
It definitely, like, everything I'm seeing right now was, like, University of Capella.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Craig and him.
Yeah, exactly. Over to the...
She went to ITT to get that.
Yeah. So, okay. The gist of this episode was Tommy was...
Doctor of Business Administration, Grand Canyon University. Yeah,
that's probably what it was. And Tommy was real. He was like, look, you guys... are basically like you're leading all the women on because you're not really being clear about who you really like and don't like. And he really got at that Aaron guy, the one who pulls the shirt up. Mm-hmm. He was like, every girl you talk to, you always say the same shit. Yo, I think we got a connection. I think you might be the one. I think we might be able to do something. He said, but you don't, that's not how you really feel.
Right.
And y'all are being unfair. So Tommy made the guys go to the woman and say, you're going to be cut.
Right.
Like, we're not fucking with you. We're not fucking with you. And they was like, they was shook to do it. And so the blue collar dude is the one who went to the doctor and was like, yo. And he broke it down. He actually was really nice about it. He was like, look, like, every time you, like, because she had an afro wig this time. It was like, yo, like, who are you?
She was doing too much?
Because who are you? Because every time we see you, you're literally a different character.
So I got to interject and say, just because this bothers me. So,
okay.
PhD in business is a PhD. It's a PhD in business management or in management science. So people usually get it in order to stay in academia and teach business classes.
Okay.
So it's not the same as getting an MBA in business.
Okay.
You're getting a PhD basically in like business administration, business
management. So you can be a professor mostly.
Right. So I think her using her doctor when she's selling insurance, she's doing herself a disservice because people are looking at her like,
yeah, what's good?
So I'm sorry, that bothered me. So okay. Yes, you can get the degree.
Yeah. But yeah, so they X'd her off, and you know, she was, you know, pretty upset, and you know, and well, X'd off her, and X'd off there's a woman named Shanta.
As a light skinned girl.
Yeah. They X'd her off, and X'd off the slim one who's always goofy.
The young one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because it was like, you like the homegirl. Like, you like every time. She definitely needed the girl. Because, dude, every time you see her, she's like cracking him. It's like when are you going to get serious? Yeah. So, they bodied those are the three that got bodied.
I mean, I'm glad that they, you know, are doing that with the show, but like, what kind of, like, what did you expect dudes to do? Like, the goal, like, okay, this is where we're all understanding that these are single men.
Mm hmm.
Right. Living in a major city mm-hmm. with an abundance of women.
Yep. Yes.
Their very nature of how they date is to not
commit.
Is to not commit and give this sort of overarching blanket statement. Like, yeah. That is the nature of what happens.
That's the game.
Like, I think it's unfair to like put them in this, like, you gotta choose or you gotta be real. Like, nigga, I've been around 4 hours in total.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I don't know if I like her like that.
And also, if mentally a dude like that, he don't want to cut off his supply.
Yeah.
Like, if we being real, like, we gonna give a little game, right? He don't want to cut off his supply. He don't want to say no to some ass that might pop off.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
you picked the wrong one. It's like when you go and you see the group of friends.
Gotta play to us.
You go and six of them at the bar. Now you know who you got your eye on, but you don't want to play this wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you play it wrong, nigga, you're done.
You're walking away with nothing.
Nothing, nigga.
Yeah. Nothing. So I'm gonna lean that way.
I'm gonna see.
I'm gonna lean, but I'm gonna lean. Ain't gonna lean too hard.
Yes.
You know, over there with, you know, with the tight jeans, might be showing a little more love.
Let me see who's feeling me.
Exactly.
Then I could start to form. Because again, if I go hard,
yeah, and she body me with the I got a boyfriend,
done.
Whatever it is, now I gotta walk away with my tail to my legs.
Because who's taking second?
I could end up fucking a friend down that was two doors down.
But
nobody.
Who's taking second?
Nobody.
Yeah. So
you I would have fucked you, nigga. But
yeah, definitely not in front of the girls.
Exactly. You talk too much, clown ass nigga. Did you want to mention last night, or is that kind of on the
low? The election?
No.
Oh no, the dinner. Yeah. So last night, friend to the show and friend to all of us in real life, Bevy Smith. Bev often hosts a dinner series called Dinner with Bevy.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is there's a guest of honor, and she brings together usually a mix of people who relate to whatever the subject of the dinner may be. So it may be a mix of fashion and journalism or whatever. So last night she had a dinner with Bevy for Nelson George. And Nelson George, who is one of the preeminent music journalists and cultural writers of our time.
Been writing since like the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah, he actually said this is the anniversary of his career because his first two stories ran in 78, a month apart, and I think it was a story on Evelyn Champagne King and a story on, I can't remember who the other one was, but but anyway, so Nelson, there is a Mike Judge has a show on Cinemax that's called Tales from the Tour Bus.
Okay.
It's an animated series that tells stories of like legendary acts on the road, and this is actually the second season, but the first season was country artists.
Okay.
So, at one point, Nelson had run into him, and he was like, yo, if you ever decide you want to do, like, funk or soul, let me know. And sure enough, for season 2, they wanted to do funk. So, these are first-hand stories told by people involved about Clinton, George Clinton, Rick James. Rick has a two-part episode.
I don't know, Rick had to have two-part.
James, Rick needs 5 parts. Course.
James, yeah.
Betty Davis. Which should really be interesting.
Okay.
And she's a recluse. So for her, and she's such an unsung hero in funk, for her, he had to actually find some people who did a documentary on her a while ago, pull the audio. Because since it's animated, it doesn't matter that you can't
see her. Oh, it's animated.
It's animated. Oh, so it doesn't matter that you can't
see the person. Yeah.
And you can bring her back to life the way she looked back in the day, because she hasn't been on film in years, right?
Wow.
Who else did he do? There's some other people in there too, but those are the main ones that I remember off the top of my head.
And they show one of the episodes at the dinner, or no?
They did, and it was just more of a conversation about it. But it actually started this Friday past. The George Clinton episode aired this Friday past.
What's
Friday
what's
night at 10 o'clock, Cinemax.
So I don't have Cinemax. Shit.
I think, because apparently, does HBO now own Cinemax, Sean?
Might have to look at it. They might.
You might be able to access
it. Because there are HBO executives there, so I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
they might be under there, yeah.
So, anyway, so you might want to check. But also, this Friday is the first part of the Rick James episode. And it's so perfect because you already know these stories are crazy. So for them to be real stories, but you do them with animation?
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. So I'm really excited. There's 8 parts to it all together. Again, it started this Friday past on November 2nd at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So Friday's at 10 o'clock. Check it out. But also, we talked about some other things. Like, we talked about the fact that Aretha's Amazing Grace documentary is finally going to be released.
Really?
After what's been, like, 30 years?
Wow.
Something crazy like that.
So it's a doc about the about her making a record at the church?
Yeah. So apparently what had happened
James
was...
James Cleveland and all them.
Yeah. What happened was... It was, oh my God, who did it? Who shot it? Sidney Pollack shot it.
Okay.
Because people just assume that it's coming out now because Aretha's dead. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. But what happened was Sidney Pollack shot it. And because Sidney Pollack was a documentarian, but not a music documentarian, was a mm-hmm. film producer, but not a music
You're
documentarian.
Not a music guy, yeah.
He didn't have the right plug-in for the audio. And the technology has not existed to sync the audio. Like, pull the audio from the album and sync it properly to the film. Properly. Without it costing, like, a gajillion billion dollars. So now, finally, they were able to actually put the audio together with the footage and sync it properly. So it's got C.L. Franklin in it. It's got James Cleveland in it. You know,
yeah.
It's Aretha at her most Aretha.
At her best, yeah.
So that's coming soon. I asked him about, like, there's a Soul Train musical that he and Questlove are working on, but that's been in the works for a really long time.
I just want to see Aretha's. I've always wanted to see Aretha sing, watch her sing Holy Holy.
Yeah.
Like, I've always wanted to watch her actually do that. And I read a little music tidbit that was interesting to me, even though it's a small thing. Do you know the song Holy Holy?
Mm-hmm.
You know how it starts? It's like...
Yeah.
And it goes...
Yeah.
And the people go crazy. I read it. It's because she tried to do it 2 or 3 times. She couldn't get it.
Oh.
So she kept fucking up that... So when she did it, people was like, oh, you nailed it.
You know, people have been like, take your time, baby.
Exactly. Because you hear it at the beginning of the song. They're like, sing.
Yeah.
You hear them saying that. Take your time. You hear that church.
I love that. I love
sing.
How church encourages people.
Dang.
So the dinner was great. It was because also in the room was Kenny Gamble. So y'all know I was like Kenny Gamble, like with an Adidas jacket on.
Of course.
And a baseball cap.
And the Fez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Fez hat?
No.
Oh, usually wears the Fez hat.
No, it was the Fez. It was the Fez hat.
Always wears the Fez.
He told me
Leon always wear the baseball cap.
He told me I was beautiful. So there's that.
You popping.
There was, and his ex-wife, Deanna Williams.
Oh, is that his ex-wife?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah,
okay.
She always shouts him out. Like, mm-hmm. There's a very.
They're still close. They're still close.
You can see Deanna was bad. You can see it like, oh, what about 30 years ago? You was killing niggas.
Yeah. And for those of y'all who don't know Deanna Williams, she's the light-skinned black woman who's on every episode of Unsung.
Yeah. She's a radio personality.
Because she knows everybody.
Yeah, she's a radio personality.
She's a radio personality, and she still is like. We always call Deanna to do our media training for our artists.
Yes.
And she knows that. She's also one of the founders of Black Music Month, which started as Black Music Week.
I think I kind of might have known that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's a legend. Nelson's a legend. Charles, what's his name? Charles Blow was there.
Okay.
Emil, of course, was there because wherever Betty is, Emil is. There was a lot of like former Vibe. Daytwan was there.
Oh, okay.
Daytwan Thomas, who is the current editor-in-chief of Vibe, who actually did a talk tonight at the Schomburg about the anniversary of Greatest Day in Hip-Hop.
Yeah, he it's funny because, like, I mean, he remembers so much more about that day than I do. And mm-hmm. I was there.
But he worked for XXL. Of course he does.
Yeah, no, but he just was like, I remember Shaq was there. I was like, I don't remember Shaq was there. But if he says it, it was there. I don't remember it,
so
but he does.
They were doing a talk tonight with him, with the EIC of XXL at the time, who put it together with Sheik. No, with Styles. Okay. With a couple of other people. So that was today at the Schomburg. Okay. But anyway, so DeTwan was there. Who else was there? Wendy Washington, who is a Whitney Gilbenta, who's friends of the room. There were a bunch of other people there. So it was a small but good
turnout.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good mix. And Nelson is like one of my cultural writing heroes.
Oh yeah, he's a shit.
And I want to thank Bev, because when we took questions from the room, Bev being Bev came to me like, you better ask him a question. And he had just gotten finished saying that one of the reasons he wanted to do Tales from the Tour Bus was because there is a disconnect with the current generation of music fans and the history and the foundation and where things came from, you know. And she was like, the reason I wanted to make sure young Naima asked you a question is because she does this thing called Music Sermon. And so, you know, she gave me like a whole shout out. And Nelson was actually like, yeah, we've talked on Twitter before. Okay. So, you know, he...
Now, Nelson's a good dude. He's actually a great dude.
Right.
So I just wanted to say peace to him. And I don't know if we mentioned it before, but just kind of sidebar on what you just said. There's a lot of documentaries coming out on black artists, which is amazing. So there's one coming on Teddy Pendergrass. I don't know if we talked about that.
Yeah, but we don't know exactly when it's coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be in a film festival.
It happened on the 26th in Philly.
But they haven't given a release date yet. I'm ready for that.
I feel like I remember them saying it was going to be coming on Thanksgiving weekend, but I could be wrong.
That would be awesome.
It's going to be on Showtime. And so that's going to be...
That's going to be awesome.
Awesome. I mean, because Teddy Pendergrass...
Because we've been waiting on that Teddy P biopic, and that hasn't happened.
Yeah, remember Tyrese was trying to do it at one point? And
it was very, very difficult to get together. Those biopics take a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have a lot of hands involved in that.
Yep.
And you have to, first of all, you have to get on the same page in terms of music.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, you cannot do this without the music. So before you can even go down the path of finding a writer, finding, you know, identifying a period of time, are you doing their whole life?
Yeah.
Right. Before you even can go down those things, you have to ensure that you can at least reasonably get the music.
Yeah.
Access to the music.
Yeah, you got to go see Kenny and Leon.
You got to go Kiss the Ring.
Right.
It ain't even up for debate.
You got to. And then to go that don't even mean that they're going to participate or let you participate.
You just going to Kiss the Ring just out of respect.
Exactly.
That's just to start the conversation on what it's going to cost you.
Right.
Exactly.
For that access.
Exactly. So I'm really interested in seeing that, because Teddy's... career was, you know, was
people
stellar.
People don't realize how big he was.
Yeah.
Teddy was the biggest male artist aside from Marvin, the biggest, like, male sex symbol aside from Marvin Gaye.
He started the all-women concert.
He absolutely
And
did.
Be flooded. Like, the concerts would be flooded.
He
like,
absolutely
all,
started that for ladies only shit.
Yeah, for ladies only shit, and, like, would be killing them. And
had, like, four back-to-back platinum albums. His career was...
Plus, right. Coming off Harold Melvin and them,
yeah,
which was had massive hits off with them too. Like, so yeah, now he was
and
shit.
Shit cut short at the prom,
right when he was about to go to the stratosphere.
Yeah,
like literally, he was about to go to that quote unquote next level.
Yeah, I don't even think we have a modern artist that you can really, because when I was talking about Teddy for Music Sermon, I was really trying to think of a comparison. I was like, if you would have to take like Trey Songz and Tank and some, like, you have to roll them all up in
and even
together
still.
It's just not the power of Tank. And when you watch his live footage back, you get it. Like, you totally.
That's why I want. That's why I'm so interested in seeing the doc, because they got. I'm hoping that they have. I'm assuming they're gonna have a lot of live footage in the documentary. I just want to mention your man Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
Justin got trapped in a franchise of Friday.
Literally. Like, it could have been a scene from Friday. So his car broke down. And I thought his Compton was actually Watts.
Mm.
Actually, maybe worse.
Definitely worse.
And he was, you know, the car kind of got seized upon by a bunch of cats in the hood. And Justin, and they got clips of Justin singing.
Doing push-ups.
Justin taking pictures with all the little kids. They're all basically in his car with him.
Yo, that's why the kids are really in his car.
They're in his car with him. And he's like,
He looked exasperated.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if shook is the right term, but just like
resigned to like ain't shit I can do.
I know exactly that look.
What's the
that
look?
That is a look of I cannot say or do the wrong thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything I do that is remotely interpreted as an insult.
I'm finished.
This can go terribly wrong. Right? And so he's in that real cross section of I'm tired, my fucking car broke down.
Like he looks tired and irritated.
Yeah, he looks. So you're tired and irritated because think about when your car breaks down.
Yeah.
You're not fucking happy. No one's fucking happy about that, right? But then you then have all of these people coming on you, and now you have that awkward moment of do you just call an Uber and get the fuck out of there?
That's what I was wondering why he didn't do that.
Why would you leave your car? Your shit will be stressed.
He doesn't give a shit about that car. $100 million.
It's also an offense.
Yes. It is offensive to do that.
To just bounce.
Yes.
To be like, all right, y'all.
Like I'm out fucking and get with y'all.
That's I was actually okay with the fact that he seemed to have recognized that.
Yeah.
Like, if I do something that is offensive, this is just doesn't really bode well.
Yeah.
Right?
And if I stay here and I'm irritated for an hour and a half or 2 hours, like, what the fuck does it cost me?
Yeah.
Right? And now, he's probably good.
He's good in the hood now.
He definitely promised he was giving somebody something.
Yeah, he got to come back for Christmas, give out some turkey.
But I also want to know, like, where were you coming from?
That's what I want to know.
Where were you going?
Why were you in Watts?
Well,
because my man was like, yo, he probably picking up that. I'm like, fam, they deliver in L.A.
Ain't no cut through.
Ain't no cut through to go from Watts to Malibu where he was going. If he was picking up something, niggas deliver. Like, you don't have to go to Watts to get it.
Okay, Justin Bieber has more than enough money.
We can hire
someone
to go get it for
him. Just be a drug runner.
Yes.
No
just
doubt.
Go buy my drugs.
No doubt.
That's it. You could, it's 65K a year, benefits, full benefit, dental health, and you get a car allowance. Okay?
Yeah.
No, I'm dead serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can afford that.
Yeah.
And every now and again, you'll get on a PJ, you'll get a Christmas bonus, you'll meet some birds from the video.
All the free shit I can't fit, you get that.
Like, you in a box of Jordans, take them.
All that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I've ever said this about, the first thing about LA is when I recognized was like, dude, like, you know immediately when you got off the wrong motherfucking exit.
Absolutely. Right away.
As a youngin', am riding in L.A. and decides I'm going to get off because I'm thinking it's like New York. So there's going to be parallel streets or conduits.
I'll just go down this way.
I just need a sense of direction and I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
I get off the exit and the first thing I see is a grown-ass man with no shirt on a little girl's bike. The one with the banana seat.
You like, oh, this?
Oh my God! So first,
these boys in the hood,
nigga.
I made a horrible mistake.
Terrible mistake right now, right? It's a dead end. So over there, like them freeways, like you'll get off and it's like it ends.
Yeah.
So it's not like you could keep going straight. So I had to turn around and go down. So now I'm like, okay, let me take this seatbelt off. Because you niggas are not going to have me jammed up like Cousin Harold. If I need to roll out of here,
I'm gone.
I'm rolling.
Take the car.
Took that seatbelt off, and I did the Denzel shit. I turned that radio down. I put the windows down. I need to smell this shit.
Yeah,
nigga.
I need to know exactly.
I don't know where I am, but I know where I am.
Exactly.
And I need to get back on that freeway. And until then,
exactly.
I'm rolling, stopping, nigga. I'm not stopping at none of these stops.
I ain't asking nobody for no directions.
At all, nigga. I'm rolling through all this.
Yeah, LA,
you pull
LA,
me over,
LA,
give me the ticket.
LA definitely could change on you in a block of time.
Like immediately.
You're like, wait a minute, I was in Malibu. Now I'm in fucking Compton. Like,
yo, dude, I mean, I get it. And, you know, listen, who's this? I mean, he's driving around.
I thought it was a very interesting story.
He didn't mean to be there. I'm pretty sure
that was really good. It really just seemed like a whole bunch of niggas be like, alright, sing that song, Justin.
Oh, no,
that's what
like literally what they were doing.
Oh, that's
the footage that I was having. Again, Justin Bieber in the hood, Justin Bieber, white boy, what's up?
He took a nigga to play ball.
That shit was so funny.
One year,
they probably tried to take him over to the crib.
I told you guys, Chris Rock grew up the street from us.
Yeah.
Oh, Best I Am.
Best I.
So New Jack had come out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I remember him pulling up, like, to Brevoort and all that. He had the fucking red Corvette.
Banging.
He came out, he played ball. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's the hood shit. Yo, Pookie out here playing ball, yo. You know what I'm saying? So the fucking whole project
come out.
Sort of descend on it.
Yeah.
And then it was, he was in that space where it's like, yo, I just really wanted to come play ball. And listen, right. they weren't. Nobody was going to do anything to him. Because he knew and went to school with some of the older heads. I'm about to say,
he probably knows some of the cats anyway.
He knew the older heads.
Yeah.
He was good.
So he was comfortable.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the kids, all they touching the car.
Yeah.
And if they had cameras back then, they'd have been doing the same shit.
Yeah, but you know what? He gave some niggas a story. They probably tell him to this day.
That's it.
You know, God bless him, man. God bless you, Justin Bieber. I want to just mention this crazy-ass Angela Simmons story. Her ex-fiance got murdered.
Her son's father.
Yeah, son's father got murdered, I guess on November 3rd. The guy who allegedly killed him turned himself in. According to TMZ, he's a mugshot and everything. He's been charged with murder, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
That's interesting.
And possession of, he turned himself in. And possession of a firearm. So he's in a tough spot.
It's tragic, and I'm not gonna say it's tragic, but it's tragic. And there'd always been rumors that dude was in some street shit.
Yeah, always. Yeah,
which was why people was side-eyeing her about the relationship.
Yeah, the whole thing was kind of. I don't want to kind of.
But first, it was her getting married. It was her getting pregnant out of wedlock when
Angela. When she used to shit on people.
Yeah, when Angela had always said she was virgin, which I don't. I do not believe that.
Yeah.
Val and Angela weren't fucking, but that's not
my business. Yeah.
But,
my business.
But there was the fact that she got pregnant when she had always claimed to be a virgin. Then when people found out who Dude was, because she kept him secret for a really long time.
Long time.
But when people found out who Dude was, you know, he was older. And, the rumors were that he was, because he's an Atlanta dude, right?
Yeah.
The rumors had always been that he was in some street shit.
Yeah, so, you know, peace to her and her child, and, you know, God bless, man. Bro, you want to talk about Michael Irvin?
I mean, we could just touch on Michael Irvin, so.
Did you see this night?
No, I don't think so.
This past week, Michael Irvin, who he's a, Hall of Famer,
mm-hmm.
wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, was on the analyst stage.
First Take.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I don't watch that show.
I don't either. I watch Shannon and him.
And he was yelling and screaming.
And sweating.
Like, you ever see those old school preachers? Like those real fire brimstone preachers?
Yeah.
It was that sort of thing going on. And it was just weird. It was completely out of place. Especially because that's not really his style.
What was he yelling and screaming about?
The Dallas Cowboys.
And
it was him and Stephen A. Going back and
Stephen
forth.
Stephen A is always yelling and screaming.
Exactly.
But even Stephen A's yelling and screaming, there is a...
It's measured?
Yes, there is a measured tone to the yelling and screaming. Michael was screaming, like, at the top of his lungs. He was sweating, like pouring sweat.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. to the point where, like, the dudes from the stagehands are coming out, like, and wiping him down.
Yeah.
He's, like, sweating through his clothes.
His clothes. So, look, God bless, Mike. I hope he ain't backsliding.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
That's exactly what it made me think. Like,
that behavior was very much like, like I said, I ain't saying he out there on that stuff.
But.
I'm not saying.
Yeah, I'm saying if I found out that he was, I wouldn't be surprised.
It wouldn't throw me for a loop.
Yeah, because he was going crazy.
And he was like, all the Beijing. Mike had
black like this chair. Your hair was not black when it was black. So Mike got here. I wanted to mention this girl, Karan. You want to talk about this now?
Yeah, so there's a girl named Karan who...
God bless her.
Went viral. That just came out. I was going to get that. So there's a girl named Karan who went viral, I think, last week. She did a post.
Last week.
With a MAGA hat and some really terrible looking braids.
Let me just stop you. What threw me off right from the gate, though, the MAGA hat was like a bucket hat. I was like, do they make those?
Right. It might have been like the Kanye remake MAGA hat.
No, I ain't seen a bucket hat.
So she had the MAGA hat, but what was believable was like, this is going to sound terrible. I know, I'm sorry, but she looks like a black girl that would have been a MAGA chick. But anyway, y'all know what I mean.
She does.
So she went viral. She posted a picture of herself in a MAGA hat saying that she can't, you know, she supports Trump and her parents throughout the house and whatever. And she started to GoFundMe. White Trump supporters love nothing more than a black person who publicly supports Trump.
Yep.
And they will throw all their weight behind that person if you say something happened to you.
You can live.
Because they want to be like, you're a hero.
Mm-hmm.
We love you. Mm-hmm. Good for you. These crackers love Candace Owens. Are you kidding me?
Love her.
Love her.
They love her. They love doubt the Scott guy, the
yeah,
fake preacher
they
nigga.
They love these motherfuckers. So that GoFundMe was like racking it up. Apparently she got $150,000. Let me tell you something, nigga. I was sitting there like, could I do this shit? Like, let me start a GoFundMe with
$150,000 in like two days.
Maybe I could just do it on Facebook and say I got fired from my job and just tell niggas who know me to stay quiet and shit.
Shut up.
Let me get a couple months rent popping.
In like three or four days.
Yeah, I don't even need $150,000. I'll take like 10, 20.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then it came out afterwards. I think people figured out early. Like, this was clearly a finesse.
You think people figured out early?
I remember the first time I saw it, people were like, this is definitely a finesse because it was just way too convenient. People like, this was a finesse. So it's now come out there was definitely a finesse. But the MAGA motherfuckers who sent her money probably don't know. I think it's an inside black
Yeah, it's like
thing.
A black Twitter thing.
And apparently it's come out that she goes to Howard, which then led people to be like, yo, who's got the fraud major at Howard?
Yo. Her and old boy?
Yes.
From last year.
But you know what? Karan, your parents might, like, this is going to be made for some interesting family conversations at the dinner table for the holidays. But shorty, I'm really not mad.
Can't be mad.
I'm really not mad.
She G'd off. Like, how could you be mad?
She G'd off. Honestly, you better give your parents some of that money, though. I know that shit.
$150,000. Because she wrote a tweet after she got her the money. And she kept writing, like, this is getting worse and worse. And she made these fake text. Let's see, screenshot.
Oh,
about,
yeah, she did
about,
screenshots between her
yeah,
and her
about
parents.
Her mom, like, the mother kicking around. She's like, Mom, where can I go? I can't afford to live on my own. Maybe one of those Trumpies will hold you down or whatever. And then she sends this tweet. After a while, Trump is a racist, homophobic, transphobic bigot. You think that my black ass will support this rotten carrot? Ridiculous. Any black person that could put on this ugly hat and say MAGA, and y'all will instantly be up there at their ass because you want to prove so hard you're not racist.
Right.
So she came off crazy. So
right.
God bless her. And by the way, did you see them making a movie about Zola?
Yeah, that's been in the works for a while.
Yeah, I think it's actually straight up in production now.
Okay. Yeah, that's been
so
in the works.
So we'll be
for
seeing that, I think, really soon.
Yeah.
God That'll bless her. She came off too. Work. Hold on, you cold, bro? You good? We got interrupted by the guy that worked at the studio.
That must know he was trying to be.
No, that's my nigga though.
He almost made it. It's okay. He got that swag.
I fucked with you, man.
He got his RMC bomber. Okay,
yeah,
he's popping. The culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah,
culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right, man. Safe, man.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm really interested to see how this Zola movie comes. Who's doing it? Is it BT?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but
I can't remember.
I guess we should jump on in and talk about. There's one more thing I want to talk about before we get into it.
That Rebel Wilson, or
let's talk about Rebel Wilson real quick. I didn't really keep up with the Rebel Wilson thing.
Let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
So Rebel Wilson
and then we'll
is
get
in
to the midterms.
Rebel Wilson is starring in this new rom com that's coming out. I don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
But she tweeted, and this might not be it verbatim, but it's pretty close. She tweeted, she was like, "I'm so excited about being the first plus size actress to have star in a rom com." So somebody basically retweeted and were like, "Queen Latifah and Monique would like a word."
Word.
Right.
Latifah's done like two or three.
Yeah, like multiple.
Joints.
So people kept hitting her and being like, nah, Latifah did it. Nah, you know,
yeah.
Monique did it, da da da. What started happening was rather than responding, then she responded to one person and said something like, well, you know, technically, I don't know if they would consider rom coms or build as rom coms, and also like technically,
they
I don't know
were.
If those women were considered plus size. Which, like, what are you talking about?
Queen
has even been plus size since
her whole career.
So then, black writers And Black personalities were coming at her, like, not even really coming at her crazy, just like...
She's like, yo, you should learn your... You
know, do the knowledge.
Do your Googles.
Yeah, do your Googles, do the knowledge. And she started blocking motherfuckers. And, like, not blocking random people. Blocking verified, you know, motherfuckers with platforms.
Yeah.
With audiences,
like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, like Michael, like Michael Arsenic. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, she blocked him.
Yo, she's blocking real
wow
people, blocking writers from the root, blocking cultural writers. And so then that became a thing. Like, she's just blocking everybody out here, but she would respond to white women,
of course.
So it looked like she was only blocking not just Black women, but women of color.
Okay,
but responding to white women, and she responded to Monique. Because Monique came at her like, listen, sis, let's not discredit anything that anybody did by yeah talking about gray areas and technicalities and whatever. And Rebel like, no, you're absolutely right. And I didn't say it right. And it's like, okay, but you could have gave that same energy to, that's exactly what all these other people.
Yeah, nobody was going to come at your neck.
Right. So once it started getting like some mainstream pickup, it looks like her publicist, because I was like, how do her people not see this? Because some people were just making threads.
Because you started trending, right?
Yeah, well, because people were literally starting to screen cap. Like, there was a hashtag, I think, called Rebel Wilson Block Me. People were screen capping the block and putting it up. So there's like a thread of all these different, you know, again, verified Black cultural writers and personalities, like, throwing up the block. And it's a lot of them. It's not like three. It's not five. It's not even 10. It's a lot of motherfuckers. And, you know, and it's all in one thread. So when mainstream media finally started picking up on it, I guess finally Rebel's people peeped what was going on. Because this happened on Sunday?
Yeah, it was over the weekend.
On Monday, she apparently started unblocking people. But it's too late now. Damage is done. So now motherfuckers is like...
Fuck Rebel Wilson.
With, you know... It was just... I don't know what she thought that was possibly going to accomplish. It was just like... How you possibly thought that was the right way to handle it is beyond me.
Yeah.
Like, how could you have possibly thought that shit was going to work?
Well, you know, I'm saying fuck her because not even that she could... Listen, people can often live in their own isolated bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they can say things with the intention of... You know, thinking it's one thing and it's not, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, her blocking people and shit like that, I even get that. But then her retort and the fucking, and I'm using air quotes here, the levels of technicalities
yeah,
that she tried to use to
justify her bullshit.
To justify it and continue to erase the fact that she was wrong.
Yeah.
All she had to do was be like, yo, my bad.
My nigga, like, it was, this was... The perfect example of when all you really had to do was say, yo, you're right.
You're right. I blooked out.
That's it.
I forgot about the Queen Latifah movie.
You know what? I misspoke. Yeah. I misspoke.
And I kind of liked her.
Yeah.
Right? But I also, like, this whole sort of back and forth. Like, I wouldn't go see her movies now. And yeah. I'm not saying this on some, you know, Black fist up shit as much as, like, I just look at it from my dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it just tells me who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman is another one, you know, talking about he's friends with
the... Oh, Iwaga, yeah, and talking about he doesn't talk to Jared and Yvonne about politics. The Aussies are having a bad week.
No, so this was, you know, basically a heat check. Like, yeah. I want to let you guys know that I fuck with them, but I don't really fuck with them all the way.
Right.
So let me see how that works out. Like, I'm not fucking with none of y'all.
Yeah.
Like, none of your shit on Broadway. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll keep mm-hmm. my money.
Yep.
You know, all your movies. I'm good. I'll keep my bread. And yeah, I'm good.
I don't like Hugh Jackman too. Shit. Damn.
That really disappointed me. And someone was like, I don't really think he realizes what he said there. Maybe he doesn't. But like, that was... Yeah, that was bad. And Hugh and Rebel are both from Australia. And it's funny because some people, of course, were really quick to be like, well, you know, the white supremacy in Australia is akin to the white supremacy in down south. Now, do I automatically think Rebel's family is playing, like, you know, the banjo music from Deliverance? I don't know that I think that, but there was definitely such a tone deafness and such a disregard. Again, in the fact that, like Sean said, it came out and talking about gray areas and technicalities, and I don't know if technically this... What you basically wanted to say was the black movies don't count. That's exactly what you wanted to say. Black movies don't count.
Exactly. So meanwhile, Latifah's a bigger star than you'll ever be.
Yeah, I don't know if it's technically a rom-com. Why? Because it's a black rom-com? Like, that's exactly what you wanted to say when that black movies don't count.
Even if she, and the craziest shit is, even her technicalities were wrong.
Yeah, completely.
Like, her technicality, it wasn't even like, she, it wasn't no aha moment.
Romantic comedies.
And a romantic comedy backed by a studio with a major theatrical release.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Wow.
Like, it was just beyond...
More than one.
Multiple times.
Because somebody was like, Queen Latifah did not quit her job, liquidate her assets, move to Aspen and marry LL Cool J. I mean, go to Aspen and marry LL Cool J for you to talk about she ain't been in no romantic comedies. Like,
wow. So, I mean, that leads us into the final topic, which is the midterm elections and the performance, again, of white women and some Latin
A lot of Latin women.
And I can't front, you called that Latin thing a long time ago. You weren't always comfortable with it.
I didn't want to be white.
And I push back, and you know, I admit, unlike Rebel Wilson,
I told y'all niggas, he coming home.
You did. So, before we get to that, so did y'all see the press conference today?
I saw people talking about. I don't watch Trump press conferences anymore.
I was at the car. Spot getting my oil change. They had it on in a little waiting round. Your man?
He's insane.
Yo, your man is
bonkers. Here's the thing about Trump. This is what you have to fundamentally understand about Trump. Even when he has speaking points, because he actually apparently started...
He started, then he went off the rails, of course.
He started very measured, and he goes, here's the thing about Trump. He's like a child. When Trump does what is perceived to be the quote-unquote right thing...
He wants to be rewarded.
He wants immediate praise and reward. He wants people to be like, oh, he's being good today. Let's reward that.
Let's write good stories about it.
Yeah, if he doesn't immediately get that feedback, he goes into attack mode. Trump did an interview with Sinclair Media, which is some bullshit anyway, who is the really conservative media company that now owns like most of the local stations, networks in the country. And in it, he said that if he could change anything in the past couple of years, he would change his tone a little bit. He said, but if whenever you are criticized, you have to fight back, or at least I think you should. So that is the fundamental part of understanding about Trump. Trump will never take criticism well.
Never.
Ever. He sees criticism as an attack.
Yep.
And you cannot be president and not be able to take criticism.
No.
People are always going... Everybody is never going to university and fuck with you.
No president gets like 100% rating.
Ever. And that's always the thing when he tries to be measured. So for a little while, what I think we're going to see for a while is him trying to play nice because he has to because we got the house back. But I think it's going to go back and forth a lot. It's only ever going to last for a little while because he's going to be like, and he's actually said this before, like, I tried to do what they want. Why aren't they being nice to me? Like, he said things to this.
Even today, he reiterated what somebody said before, which is crazy, which is when they asked him about the shootings and all that.
Uh-huh.
I'm paraphrasing, but he basically is like, yo, if you write nice stories about me, then that shit won't happen.
Right.
Like, he's like, yo, it's your fault because when you're writing nasty things about me, people get upset. That's what he's saying. Like, he's bonging. April Ryan got at it crazy because he wasn't calling her. Like, she stood up. Him and Jim Acosta went at it crazy. Like, on some, like, basically, like, fuck you type shit.
Yeah.
He was disrespecting, like, it was a Japanese reporter. He was like, yo, what just, I can't understand what you're saying, man.
Right.
He said that to a woman, too, who was, sound to be Middle Eastern, same thing. Like, what? I don't know. What are you saying? What? Like, he was just, your man was wildin' today.
Yeah.
But deeper than that is the midterm elections from last night. Mm-hmm. The Democrats, like you said, took back the House.
We had some wins. We had some big wins.
I can't front. I'm disappointed in Gilliam for conceding so early, because I saw something like this afternoon. Yo, it was like 99% in, and he was only down by like, it was like 60,000 votes.
There's still,
like,
fam, there's you might, still, well, you can always rescind a concession.
And Stacey Abrams is like, fuck that.
Stacey Abrams is like, she can, is not conceding. So,
Sam is allegedly having a runoff.
The biggest races that the country had its eye on were Gilliam in Florida.
Yes.
Stacey Abrams in Georgia.
And Beto in Texas.
And all three of them, Beto definitely lost.
Beto lost.
Abrams. So,
it's like, and they were really playing games in Georgia with
Playing mad games in Georgia. And honestly, David Kemp, who is the Secretary of State, which means he oversaw the election, should never have been allowed to oversee the election as a candidate for the election. Ever. So even just since we've been here, I read a news story that there were 700 voting machines found in a warehouse somewhere, still wrapped up. You know, there was roll purging.
There was power cords missing.
Apparently it was so bad that even when Brian Kemp went to vote,
they denied him.
Yeah. So it's like, you jacked your own shit up so bad that you can't. So it's like, so they're still in Georgia. They're still fighting in Georgia.
Yeah, which is wild, because Trump during his press conference today kept saying, we won Georgia, we won Florida. And I kept texting like, why is nobody telling him?
Well, Georgia is right now, for all intents and purposes, they've called Georgia. But Stacey Abrams will not concede in her campaign. There's still absentee ballots there. I fully expect them to take this all the way to the Supreme Court if they have to.
Moriah Ivy. You know Moriah? She's her campaign manager. She's from here, but she's a Delta. So she's been running her campaign.
I expect this is going to be like with the Florida votes. I expect this to go all the way to the Supreme Court.
No question. Stacey ain't playing.
Now with Gillum, they actually put a call out today. There are apparently some absentee ballots that they have until tomorrow at 5 p.m. to get corrected that were missing information. And there's like tens of thousands of those. So Florida could possibly still come to a runoff.
Yeah, so I was like, don't concede. Yeah, fuck that.
But even still, what's important to note about Florida and Georgia, I'm furious about just because Kemp is cheating.
And we knew the fuck shit was coming.
Yeah, we knew it was coming because it's been happening with early voting. With Florida, the fact that a first-generation, HBCU college-educated, young black man pushed it this far.
Woman.
No, Florida.
Oh, Florida. My father.
Pushed it this far, in and of itself,
is crazy.
Is major. The other thing that happened in Florida is that they passed a measure that will restore voting rights to ex-felons.
Yes.
With the exception of those who were jailed for murder and one other offense.
Okay.
That is going to restore 1.5 million people to the voting rolls.
That's major.
Bush won Florida by less than 1,000 votes.
And look at this.
Right. So even if Gillum doesn't win, this changes things in Florida.
Absolutely.
Like, for real. And I think across the country, we saw downvote measures happening on the ballot that went over just because the engagement was there, the enthusiasm was there, because people were being pushed more to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And the turnout yesterday was the largest midterm turnout ever historically. And we have the first Muslims elected to Congress.
Yeah.
The first openly gay man elected to Senate.
Yeah, it was a lesbian woman elected.
We have, there are cities, major cities that have like first black women, first women, period.
A bunch of black judges that got elected down in Texas.
Down in Texas. We had over 100, women were elected in Democratic offices last night. So there were wins. And we got the House back.
And Maxine Waters now has the
chair of the Finance Committee.
Yeah, which can now subpoena Trump's finances and tax returns.
So even though those really big wins that we wanted haven't happened yet, I'm gonna say it that way.
Yeah.
And Beto lost. There were people, Republicans like, oh, the blue wave crashed. No, the fact that we got the House back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we actually did do part of what we set out to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sean? You being quiet.
I mean, I agree with you guys. I definitely felt like I thought Gilliam had conceded a bit earlier on one of the other, somebody on Twitter, because I asked that question and someone said that I think because it was like less than a certain percentage that, you know, he was really doing it to save face, right? Like the optics is that you don't want to come off as a sore loser because he seems to me like a guy that's going to be here for a while.
Right.
Oh, no question.
He's definitely coming back.
Yeah, no question.
And, I mean, listen, I think that, unsurprisingly, we saw in these particular races how Latin folks have voted. It has been consistent. It has been very consistent with that vote and the presidency, right? Those numbers are still fairly around right where he had them. And so, yeah, man, this is... I'm not surprised. I put it to you like that. No. Nothing about that surprises me. I'm not shocked by their behavior and their acceptance of white supremacy and their endorsement of it.
So why do you think that is?
I think that a lot of them acclimate and assimilate to white culture. I think many of them can assimilate to white culture, especially those that are from places outside of sort of the more, you know, for us, we usually only have Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, for the most part, that we live next to.
Right.
Right. So those are the folks that are in our enclave, right? And there's a sense of, you know, even though obviously DR has their shit with Haiti and we know what that history is, but there's still a sense of community. We're kind of segregated, but it's still kind of like, nah, that's we're kind of all in this together a little bit.
You go to Washington Heights, you got no problems.
So I think down in Florida, it's a little different.
I think it's very segregated down there.
But I also think you start to, you get
Cubans.
You get a lot of folks that are from other locations that come there. And again, they come from usually, there's a decent amount of those folks that come from middle class families.
True.
Right? Like they come from a sense of entitlement, a sense of wealth. And I'm saying that relatively speaking. And so, yes, I think that they don't see this as voting against their interest because their interests are aligned with white supremacists. They think the same things about us that they do.
Yeah.
Right? They are okay with the treatment of what? They don't see themselves in the same boat in the way the Washington Heights guys are going to see us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think that that's a part of it. And the same thing, you see that in Texas. You see that and I think that at some point we're going to have to start to acknowledge the fact that this is what they feel. This is a part of the
stop cause thinking they're going to be on the side of the fence. They're not.
So when I see, you know, us doing a lot of heavy lifting for immigration and when I say heavy lifting, I'm speaking about in particularly like social media and things of that nature, because we understand what it means when you're next.
Right.
And they don't seem to understand that.
Nope.
And it has fared well for them because they continue to vote. True. In this way, right? Like all I'm saying is we keep saying us and we.
Ain't no us and we.
Ain't no us and we.
Yeah.
Okay? It's us.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I learned that twice, both via girls. So I dated this girl. We used to work together, and she was Cuban. And she was from Miami. And her father.
Cuban's in Miami, definitely.
Yeah, and her father was at the time president of the largest Cuban bank in Miami. So she came from bread. Mm-hmm. And she was up here working on a label. But the plan was for her to go back eventually. And it was almost like an arranged marriage. Like, mm-hmm. Her boyfriend was some dude from another really rich Cuban family. And they happened to get high school. So we worked together and we started, you know, dealing and stuff. And we had a really good time. And we had, like, real serious conversations, just talking and stuff. And she was like, yo, like, I can't take you home. She said, I could never take you home. Like I would be written out of the will. It'd be over. She had a cousin who lived here, who she lived with as a roommate. Her cousin was dating at that time. I don't know if they ended up getting married. A Jewish cat. Uh-huh. And she said that her family basically wrote her cousin off because she was dating a Jew.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was dates for the Cubans don't play. Then, again, I was going back and forth to the Bay a lot, and I started dating this girl who was Mexican. And she was in South San Francisco, which is that area. And one time she came pick up from the airport, took me back to the crib. You know, we had, you know, food with the family. Right. Like, her brother was a musician. So we were talking music, blah, 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 blah. And so now I have cousins out there. So I called my cousin to come pick me up because I was staying with my cousin.
Yeah.
And he was like, where are you? And I was like, told him the street. I was like, well, it's South San Francisco. He was like, what? He was like, how did you get? I said, yo, what? But you know, I can't stay here. You know what I'm saying? If you want to come pick me up. He said, yo, I've never even been over here.
Wow.
Because that's how segregated. He's like, black people don't come here.
Right.
He was like, you don't even understand what you did.
Right.
You cracked a code that is uncrackable.
Right.
By even being with this. And she was mad cool.
Yeah.
Her family actually wasn't really. Her brother. It's funny, when she was bringing me to her crib, she kind of warned me about her brother.
Right.
She was like, he might act a little funny to you because he's not really, like, comfortable. Once we started talking music, he loosened up. But then some other family came over, like, later on, because I was there for quite a while. And I could definitely feel the energy with them, like, the fuck?
Like, what's this
nigga,
about?
What is this nigga doing in their house? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I always just remembered that, like, it's, you know, that cultural thing is, like Sean said, it's very separate. And there was no time where in any of those conversations I had with, you know, it's just very microscopic experiences or microscopic, you know, examples, I'm going to say. But at no time in those conversations I had with those two girls, and, you know, we dealt off and on, like, for a little bit both, like, where they felt like they down with black people.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm Cuban, and this is what we do.
Right.
And then the girl in the Bay was like, we're Mexican, and this is what we do.
And that's the thing, right? Even with Latinos, once you get here, and not even once you get here, it's the same in Cuba, in Puerto Rico, in DR. There's still a hierarchy based on your skin, and a glass of based on your skin tone, right?
Yeah.
Like, you go to Cuba. The domestics, like the people who are at the hotel counters and the hostess and the servers, no, the people who are front facing, they're light. Mm. The people who are bussing at tables are dark. The people who are cleaning the floors are dark. You know, so it's like even there, but the people who are like at the whole, you know, who are your checking you in and who are your hostesses and all that stuff, they're light skin. So even there you see a difference. And I didn't know about this until I got to New York. I remember the first time I realized that there was beef between Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, and people were like, oh, because Puerto Ricans are like, you're United States citizens, y'all are immigrants. You know,
I didn't know what that came from.
Closer to whiteness
than you.
Y'all are more black.
Yeah, because Dominicans tend to be darker.
Yeah, so even then there is like this like you said, to assimilate to whiteness. But over here, you understand darker is quote unquote bad. It positions you differently. So they'll fuck with black people. They're not really fucking with black people. You know what I mean? So it's like, so yeah, they vote. But also the thing about the Latino community is that they are sometimes not voting for the deeper political issues. They're voting, based on religious beliefs. So there are some people who support the GOP even if they don't fuck with Trump, because they don't believe they're going to vote pro-life regardless. And there are some women in more traditional cultures who just really don't believe that women should lead. That was the Hillary thing. Like, there was some women who really was just like, I'm not voting for a woman. I don't trust it.
No matter who she is and what she
does. I don't trust it.
Yeah.
And I think that there are some people who vote. And there's also this argument that women tend to vote the way their husbands vote. And I was reading somewhere about someone who said that they were working the polls and whatever it was, like some really conservative area. And volunteers were asking women, like, do you want your husbands to come with you? Which is illegal, by the way. But, like, do you want your husbands to come with you to help you fill your ballot out? like, wow. Which is illegal, but literally, like, making it okay for your husband to stand
going
there.
And be like, nah.
Yeah, so nah, you need to go that way. Yeah. So I think there's a few different, not to give anybody a pass in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but there's a few things that play there.
There's layers.
Yeah.
Also, I think, you know, at the core of it, you know, you hear the new shows like last night and today, and moving forward, everybody's going to be talking about, well, now they're going to be talking about Sessions and shit, because he fired him today. Fuck him, by the way. But
it's fuck him, but Trump.
But it makes it worse.
Trump's about to put in somebody who will.
That dude's already talking about putting a limit on Mueller's thing, and so it's going to make it worse. But you hear people talking about, you know, why wasn't there a blue wave, and trying to kind of break it all down. And it's like underneath all of it, man, I know there's science to it and all that, and algorithms. Underneath all of it, man, like, and nobody really seems to, really, most people don't seem to really want to call it. It's just racism.
It's absolutely racism.
It's like, yo, this is the pendulum swing backwards from Barack.
Yeah.
And white folks know that there's a brown wave that's not even coming. It's here.
It's here.
It's black people. It's you know, minorities and everything kind of taking over the majority, and they're clawing and fighting for dear life to keep their spot on the top of the poll. It don't matter. Like, and the other thing about Trump is, yes, there are a lot of exceptions to the rule of what I'm about to say.
Right.
But for the most, in a lot of cases, Trump's a foul motherfucker. We don't have to get into that, right?
Nope.
But what he says and what he does won't really affect white folks. So a lot of white folks are like, it'll affect me. It won't affect me.
All politics are local.
All politics are local. It doesn't affect me. Now, there are some white folks that are like, that shit's wrong, and fuck him, we got to get him out. There's a lot of white folks like that, actually. But there's just as many white folks, probably more, even those women who, like, you know, they put the mic in their face on MSNBC or whatever, and they say, oh, it's going to change. And then they like,
Yeah.
It didn't really affect me. Like, I don't really like what he says, but whatever. You know, I'll just pull the lever for red and keep it pushing.
Yeah.
But
the other thing is, in terms of the brown wave, I heard last night, and I found this really interesting. This is the first year that more brown students were registered in the first grade than white.
Wow.
It's here. And they're panicking, and they're going to hold on for dear life.
And get prepared, because in 2020,
they're going to bring all the guns out.
And if Trump loses, get ready. Because motherfuckers are going to be prepared for some serious violence.
But I also think what's important is that we need to not underestimate the fact that Trump right now will likely win again, regardless of what's going on. So I'm happy to see that there was this level of engagement for midterms, but we got to keep the same energy for the next 2 years.
Yeah. By the way, sidebar, I don't know, bro, I thought about you today because I was watching YouTube, and your man Bob Higgins from Jersey, who ran against Menendez, he was on the Breakfast Club. You should watch that interview. I mean, he lost, so it don't matter. But yo, Charlamagne was in, and Envy was, and all three of them actually was on his neck.
Yeah,
crazy.
I was
like, whose idea was it to put him on here? Like, it was a loss.
It's kind of interesting that they would put him on that radio show, but that's, they didn't do any groundwork. They didn't do any groundwork, and
so that's what they were doing to try to make up for the lack of groundwork.
Groundwork for brown people.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
So like, figure, we're going here, and this will cover us.
We're gonna go here, and we're gonna get however many millions of people that listen.
But I don't know why they think Charlamagne and them wouldn't get at his neck,
because those are the type of people that are analytic people. So it's about views, hits, numbers, how can we cover the most ground?
Like, it don't matter if you get it at his neck, as long as he's...
Well, I don't even think they know. Like, no one would put their political client on that show. Yeah. Like, no one with any savvy, even if you were winning, like, even if this was going to be a bit of a softball, right, like, sort of aligning yourself with that particular show... It's very dangerous. It's very hit or miss. You never know what that soundbite is going to be, and they are rolling. So if you're not really equipped to deal with that, sort of on a quick, case by case basis, that's my point. Because what happens is when you get into a panic in those sort of last days, and you realize that you haven't quite caught up, or you're not really covering the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did a bunch of ads. They went, he went heavy on ads late.
Okay.
And you would see them. And it was very, I'm not Menendez. Menendez, you know, goes to DR and sleeps with underage prostitutes.
Oh, word?
Yeah, that's what they put out. Okay. And you know, I'm a Marine.
So yeah, he talked about that on the show. Yes. I'm a Marine.
So that's not a very compelling. That's not a compelling ad at all. You know what I'm saying? Especially with what we know is at stake. And pretty much, you know, listen, I'm not saying Bob Menendez did a great job, because ultimately all his fucking ad was this is Trump's man. You fucking with Trump's man? That's literally what his ad was.
And that's what Charlamagne kept saying.
Yeah, like,
why are you backing Trump?
Yeah, you're Trump's man. Yeah. And if you want to vote a puppet in for Trump, then, you know, have at it, right? So you had that going on. We also had the Congresswoman, Mikey Sherrill, who I just want to give a shout out to that campaign. They won by a pretty decent amount of votes.
Okay.
In that 11th district, but they had gotten to the annoying point. I had to tell them, like, man, stop knocking on my fucking door. No, seriously, because like the set, you know, you would get the things and then all that shit, and then I was just kind of like, you know, by like the third time that they ring the bell, I said, yo, man, I said, listen, man, you got my vote.
Yeah, okay. Chill out.
Just mark whatever list y'all getting this from. Yeah, yeah. Tell them you don't have to ring this bell no more. Right. Especially since my shit says no solicitation next to my bell. Like, stop ringing my bell. Like, then, you know what I'm saying? Then it got to the point where it was just like, all right, now y'all getting on my bell.
Yo, my nigga.
For real. Yo, bruh, I was dead ass about to call that fucking campaign. Because I was like, now this is telling me you guys don't listen.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the fucking eighth person to knock on my door on like Saturday afternoon while I'm cooking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Leave me the fuck alone. Okay.
I'm watching the game.
You know, so, but she won. And God bless, you know, more than qualified woman. Yeah. We had local elections. So our township mayor, we actually had our mayor. We had two council seats were open, and two Board of Ed seats were open.
No, oh, wow.
And we had, what do you call them things? The amendments to do.
Oh, some.
We had like a project.
Propositions.
Yeah, so we had one of those. Okay. So it was pretty interesting. You know, the mayor's returning. I mean, God bless him.
Whatever.
Nice guy. I wish, you know, I think it might have been time for us to go another way.
But, yeah.
You know, the numbers weren't that great. You know, we look, again, we talk about the midterms and folks coming out.
They didn't really come out like that.
I think that they came out and they only voted top lines. Mm. They didn't really vote for like council.
They didn't go all the way down.
And it's disheartening because the council and the Board of Ed folks, like, that is directly affecting us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap it up, and we will see y'all next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook, send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.